Welcome to in-game chat for whatever this is, Monday, December 20th. the 20th, 2010. We are talking with Twisted Pixel. We don't have an episode title yet, but we will by the end of this episode, and you'll hear how one is created. I'm Scott.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dennis.
And on the phone, we have guys that have been on our show. This is their fourth time, I believe, being on the show. This is Mike Wilford and also Josh Bear. Hey, guys.
Hey, man, do we get a medal for being the fourth time? It's like Boy Scouts.
Somebody's beaten them, though. Who have we had on more? Colton?
Yeah, I think.
Colton's been on, what, five times? Or four? Has Colton?
Jonathan Colton.
Jonathan Colton, yeah. I think. I don't know. You guys may...
That guy's an asshole.
You know what? That's the same thing Major Nelson said when we told him that he had not been on our show longer than Colton, so.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We're doing pretty good, getting ready for the holidays. Really appreciate you guys doing this interview so close to Christmas and everything, so thanks for doing that. How have you guys been?
Good, man. We're just eating a lot of cookies right now. Yeah, we're in front of a whole bunch of cookies on our conference table. It's awesome.
What kind of cookies?
Man, all types of cookies. I'm going to go all Forrest Gump on this. Ginger cookies and animal cookies and
homemade queso.
Yeah, queso and cookies, man. That's what you do.
Man, that sounds great.
Well, I'm going to have a sip of my water because that's all we've got. So we haven't talked to you in a while, and you've had a couple of things go on. Number one, Comic Jumper was released. Pretty happy with how that turned out?
Yeah, you know, I think we, you know, for a game as big as Comic Jumper is, for a company our size and the time limit we had, there were a couple kind of focus things we really wanted to try to nail. And, yeah, I feel really proud of what we did with that game. It's definitely a game that's not for everyone. But, yeah, I think we nailed a lot of cool stuff. I think we're really happy with how it turned out.
Do you guys get any sales figures or anything from Microsoft or no?
Yeah, we do, but our sales reports are usually a bit behind and usually kind of crappy, to be honest. But the leaderboards are generally a good estimate for what the sales are.
Well, good, good. And I guess you're pleased with it. Now, I understand no DLC has been planned for Comic Jumper, correct?
That is right, yeah. Comic Jumper was built with the ability to... have DLC, and we have some neat ideas for it, but currently, you know, we kind of decided to focus on brand new IP instead of kind of going down the DLC route.
Now, before we get into that brand new IP, or at least the latest that you've announced, have to thank you for putting a mention of in-game chat and myself into the game.
Yeah, dude, thanks for the money for that, too.
We don't call it the Christmas buttfuck episode for nothing.
That's right, buddy. No, you're very welcome. We're glad to do that. You guys are a good group of guys. So,
well, we really, really appreciate it. And thanks for helping out with our Child's Play charity drive that we did last year. And you got Dan in there. I saw his big mug and loved the description. So that's been great, and we really, really appreciate that. So thank you so much for helping out with that.
Well, I think there were a lot of women who played Comic Jumper who touched themselves when they saw that picture, Dan. So
I know I did. No, it was a great thing. Dan loved it, and it was good to have that in there. And the site appreciates it. We appreciate it. So thank you very much for that. I do have a question concerning that. In fact, we created a thread over on Colony of Gamers for some of our members to ask you questions. And the very first question we got was from a guy named Liquid Rain. And I wish I could remember what his actual name is right now, but I can't. He says, I still haven't finished the multiplayer section of Splosion Man. Why haven't you guys helped me out with that yet? I did win a contest.
We did that.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. I remember bringing it up, but you guys were really busy, so it was just one of those things that kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, that
unfortunately, that's what happened. I remember. I do remember that. Yeah, you reminded us about it right when we were in the middle of crunch for Comic Con.
I know. The perfect opportunity to bring that up. So we'll try and I don't know when you guys have some downtime, but we'll try and get that scheduled for him.
Yeah, we might have to turn that into a t-shirt and, you know, maybe playing some comic jumper together too.
Since we fucked up.
Just put him in your next game. You'll be fine. We'll just have that a running theme.
Up for all our mess ups.
are you guys still 15 people or have you grown?
We have grown a little bit.
Right now we're about
25 right now.
Oh man, you're losing indie status, guys.
I'm not sure we ever had indie status. No, that's okay. I think we talk about that a little bit. You know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, maybe Twisted Pixel isn't as indie," and it's kind of like, "Well, fuck you," because we pay for a lot of this stuff. We work our ass off. We're not owned by anyone but ourselves, so. Yeah. I don't know how it gets more indie than some of the shit we make. So
I know. That's what I've often thought about is basically what describes you as an indie developer. Well, are you owned by anyone? Then you know you are your own self. So
yeah. Well, I think it's easy for whatever indie developers or whatever you want to call it. You know, people like to separate themselves in groups. It's kind of the cool thing right now to be kind of the indie developer, and I mean, quite honestly, I think all we're really looking to do is make some cool stuff and make it the way we want to make it. So whatever that is called, so be it. But I don't think we really try to get too wrapped up in any of that stuff. And there's just a lot of good developers. Some of them are two guys by themselves, and some of them are, 20 guys. But yeah. Ultimately, who cares as long as it's fun and cool. So, that's kind of how we look at it.
Yeah, good way to look at it. I like that. I like that point of view. Speaking of indie stuff, you guys just won an award, didn't you? You guys just won an award?
I don't know, I hope. I love awards. Did we win an award? Which award are you?
Oh, shit. Somebody tweeted it today.
I think I saw that we were runner-up for, best new studio or just best dev of the year or whatever from some site. Not sure who it was, though. I didn't get a chance to look.
I know I lost to Ryan Reynolds for the People's Sexiest Man Alive cover this year. But other than that, I wasn't aware.
Next question comes from Mike Callahan, I believe is his name, on the forums. I'm gonna screw up this guy's last name, even though it seems easy. Is it Dan Teasdale?
Teasdale, yeah.
No, I got it right. He says Dan Teasdale left Harmonix because he said that the next thing you guys are doing is just too cool to say no. Is this Misplosure Man or something else entirely?
This is something else, actually. We have two IP we're working on right now. Everyone in the company is kind of involved in everything we do, but Dan is more specifically working on the unannounced IP.
Any time we can maybe expect to hear about that announcement?
After the holidays. So I think in January we're thinking about making an announcement or doing something along those lines.
Yeah, we're working on, trying to make sure our reveal is cool so people can get an idea of what the game
it'll
is.
It'll probably be January.
We're looking forward to sharing that, though. It should be pretty cool.
So we're looking forward to finding out what it is, man. You guys keep us guessing. So far, so far, I've enjoyed everything that you guys have released so far. Any plans to put Splosion Man in like Mortal Kombat or something like that?
That would be so awesome! Oh my god!
Since Mortal Kombat's like, hey, we'll take whatever characters you want, just put them in our game.
Shang Tsung just morphs into Splosion Man.
That would be great.
Splosion Man will not be in Mortal Kombat, unfortunately, but, we have talked a little bit about, Splosion Man appearing in some other stuff or some of our other characters kind of popping up in unexpected places. Not really thinking to announce right now, but we're working on that. We think that's a good idea. We think it'd be a lot of fun to work with other devs to do some cool stuff.
Sweet.
Wraith says, I'll admit, I picked up Splosion Man on Black Friday for $2. How do these kind of sales work out for you as a developer? Were you involved in getting Splosion Man featured as part of that sale?
Honestly, those sales on Xbox Marketplace are just put together by Microsoft. So they decided they want to put together a promotion, and then they approached us and said, hey, we're thinking of doing this and want Splosion Man to be a part of it. Do you give us thumbs up or thumbs down? So we said thumbs up.
Usually depends. Most of the time, a lot of those deals, you know, usually work out pretty good. I mean, that's a great thing about some of the, you know, digital content, unlike some of the retail stuff where, you know, maybe the game's hot for a while and dies down, and then you can do some type of cool little sale or something like that, and it boosts the game sales up again and stuff. So depending on the situation, that could be a really cool thing.
Yeah, if it were up to us, I think we would probably do promotions like that more often.
Well, did you? How did the numbers look on that, or did you get any? Did you get any feedback on how well that did?
Yeah, I mean, it did well. You know, we're certainly not allowed to share sales numbers.
I don't need anything specific. I'm just saying, it was a pretty big boost.
Yeah. I want to say it was, I thought, number one that week or something like that. I can't remember. I can't say for sure, but I want to say it did really well as far as the numbers were concerned. So it was like number one or two on Major Nelson's list of content sold. So that was pretty cool.
Here's a question we get a lot of that you guys probably get a lot of too, and I don't know what your recent response has been to this question, but
11 inches.
Let me make a note. 11 inches.
There's our episode title.
Well, yeah, the 11 inches episode.
There's your show title, exactly, 11 inches.
Kyrie and Nabokov fan 87 would like to know, I want to know if Splosion Man is ever going to PC.
If he's ever going to be what? Politically correct?
Right. Well, one talks about PC, the other talks about Steam, but yeah, we ever going to see it break away from the 360?
You know, those are our IP. Those are, you know, we could do whatever we want with those things, but for that specific, you know, version of the game that came out on Xbox Live Arcade, certainly whenever you partner up with a distributor, like, you know, Microsoft for Xbox Live Arcade, or, you know, if it was Sony on PSN or whatever, like, you know, each game has its own deal terms specific to that game. And so in the case of Splosion Man, you know, that was a, you know, an exclusive. We now announced that was an Xbox Live Arcade exclusive. Well, I was also going to say, too, I think even if we had the chance, I mean, I don't know if, you know, Splosion Man is a great game. We love Splosion Man. I don't know if we'd want to go back to something. You know, Splosion Man is, you know, a little bit old now. I think we, knowing us, would probably rather choose to do something else or something new than take an older game and port it like that.
Yeah, have you had any interest in, you know, iPhone apps, Droid apps, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's all types of, as far as interest internally, you know, yeah, and interest externally, yeah. It just really comes down to, sometimes it comes down to the vision, you know, for the type of game we want to make. You know, it just fits certain things better than others, and we're certainly interested in mobile and things like that. Just depends more on the idea, I think.
I think another part of that, too, is the deal itself. Like, you know, we're talking to Microsoft, and obviously we have a long-lasting relationship with them, and whenever we have an idea for a new game, they've been super awesome and super supportive about just letting us run with whatever we want to make. You know, and, you know, some of our games being exclusive first-party games, you know, there's no secret, like, they're partially funded, at least, by Microsoft, so being able to have those types of deals and arrangements with Microsoft is pretty awesome.
It also enables you to take risks sometimes that maybe normally you wouldn't. You know, we can take risks on weird ideas or new things that normally maybe you would not.
Well, Splosion Man seems to lend itself. I mean, I don't know. You guys are more experienced in the developing side of this thing than I am, so you could laugh this off. But it seems to be the easiest it would be to put on other platforms in the sense. I mean, it's basically a one button. It's a one button game, and so something like on a handheld console or like I said, a phone app type thing seems like that would be a not necessarily easy, but seems like something that would go well together.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. Yeah, I think a lot of the ideas we you know kind of throw around here, a lot of them we try to have core mechanics that could be fun on a phone or on anything, basically. I think it just comes down to, you know, time and money and all that type of stuff. You know, one of the other nice things about this, say, working on Xbox, or if you were only working on the PS3 or whatever system of choice, you get to kind of focus just on that. So if you take a game like Explosion Man and you're going to throw it on PS3 and you're going to throw it on, you know, screw it, WiiWare and mobile, that's just a lot of extra people you need helping now to port that stuff. And, you know, Xbox and PS3 are similar, but Wii is not. So it's almost like kind of creating art and things like that for an entirely different game. There's just a lot of extra little kind of bonuses that happen that kind of make your costs go up and all that type of stuff. So, you know, we're interested in supporting all those platforms. We all love that stuff. But a lot of the times it just makes more business sense, or it's more of a focus where we can just, you know, concentrate on the title for one system.
The next question comes from the Flying Orc.
Awesome.
Yeah. He asks, are you hiring incredibly funny people with game development talent who have enjoyed all of your previous titles, and also their username is the Flying Orc and they are handsome?
I don't have the Flying Orc user tag, but all the other things pretty much sum up what I think I am, and I've already hired myself.
Yeah, we also left out the 11 inches, so there you go. Let's see, what else do we have here? This also comes from him, the Flying Orc. He says, from playing your games, I suspect that your biggest limiting factor is development time. The first world of the Silver Age in Comic Jumper comes to mind. There were clearly a lot of ideas that never got implemented there. Do you see you guys moving to a longer schedule or releasing full disc games anytime in the future?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we get asked this question a lot about, you know, retail versus downloadable, and our answer, I think, is pretty much always the same. That line, I think, is being blurred all the time between downloadable and retail, like in terms of scope of the game and the quality of game that you can find on there. That's always been our mission, kind of, is to, I don't know, prove to people that you can make games that are kind of retail quality on the downloadable space. So I don't know. We're trying to do that, and I think going downloadable, there's a lot of business reasons why that makes a whole lot more sense. You don't have to mess with retail and, you know, publishers that have to promise to report numbers to you about sales and all that kind of crap. But in general, I'd say, yeah, like, our games are getting bigger in terms of scope and schedule. If you look at the Maw versus Explosion Man versus Comic Jumper, like,
right,
each game is pretty much, you know, double in size in terms of how long it took to make the game, how many people, and all that stuff. So there's definitely huge growth there.
I think, you know, that's a good question. I mean, and being totally honest, I mean, you know, if you look at Comic Jumper was always a, you know, a grand vision and a grand idea that, you know, quite honestly, there's a lot of things we couldn't knock out. We had 12 months to make that game. It's a 2-year game, you know, at least. And there's a lot of things we didn't get to do that we wanted, so you have to pull back and focus on the things that are most important. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in that game that, man, yeah, I wish we could have done better and had more time to pull off. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to also think about how much money you're pouring into this thing, you know, how much money you're going to have come in. You want to make sure all your employees are, you know, have the safety net of that we're going to be okay. You know, we're definitely not a company that we rely on one game, and if that game doesn't, you know, do well, we're totally screwed. Try to be smarter about it. So it's really just always a balance of 50 million things, where a lot of the, you know, the bigger guys, when they're in the retail stuff, and some of these people pouring $30 and $40 million into a game, and once that game's done, you know, they lay off half their crew. So we're kind of trying to do more of the family approach here, where, you know, people always kind of have their position, and we're always in a good state where we can keep taking chances and making new stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't usually read about Twisted Pixel is, you know, massive cuts of employees and stuff like that. So, in fact, what you see is people leaving other companies coming to work for you guys.
Yeah, you know, it's a good feeling. I mean, it feels awesome, especially starting as small as we did. And I think that goes back to that whole indie thing. Like, oh, not indie anymore, not as indie. It's like, dude, if anything, we're more indie because we keep taking more and more chances and growing. And, you know, the money isn't coming from, you know, big-time publishers and stuff. You know, we're really trying to do that on our own. And when other people want to leave bigger places like Dan did, that's really awesome. Feels really cool.
Yeah, how nervous were you with Comic Jumper's release, just before it released? I mean, how nervous were you as far as, like, are people going to get this? It's not, you know, it's not Splosion Man, and it's, you know, definitely not in the mall, and, you know, it's something...
Yeah, I mean, I was nervous since the conception of the, you know, presenting the idea to Microsoft and telling them that's what we were going to do. I think we were nervous the whole time, because the whole game is supposed to be this weird-ass, like, humor approach that I don't think has been done a lot. And I think from the very beginning we were all on the same page, like, hey guys, listen, most probably this is not going to have as high of a Metacritic as Splosion Man, because there will be a lot of people who just don't get this. You know, you have the humor side of it where I think when people do get it, they think it's really funny, and we put a lot of effort into it, and it's not just stupid crude humor. There's some intelligent humor there, but then there will be the other people who absolutely fucking hate this thing. Which is pretty funny, too, you know, when people hate it. And then there's the gameplay side of it. You know, we were going for some Contra, Gunstar Hero, old-school shooter stuff that's a little bit tougher. And a lot of the people who are playing our games and reviewing our games, it's like, you know, we were thinking about, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm in my 30s. A lot of these people weren't even born when, you know, Contra came out, you know, and they're reviewing the game. And they don't, you know, they're referring to Contra, but do they really know what Contra is? Like, I don't know. Do they really enjoy it? So... I think that genre is kind of a little bit of a forgotten thing. So there were a lot of scary things about Comic Jumper, but it's what we wanted to try to make. So we just said, screw it. You know, we made it.
So far, with what you've been working on, what was the most fun to make?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, for me, I would probably say, I mean, they're all awesome, man. I've had a blast. Personally, I would probably say I'm going to throw up the Maw just because it was kind of our first one.
And it was that was your firstborn.
It was the most unknown, and it was all this crazy stuff. And then Splosion Man and Comic Jumper are such a blur, I barely remember that shit. It went so fast. So I was like, oh, yeah, we made that stuff. Like, holy crap. So I'd probably say the Maw just because it was a... Yeah, I can actually remember that one. Heroin will do that to you, though, man. Yeah. Stay away from that shit.
Well, no, you got deadlines to meet. You snort and go.
you need a boost.
So let's move on to Miss Splosion Man announcement that was released, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think, was announced?
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Where, I don't want to say where the idea for that came from, because I've already asked you where the idea of Splosion Man came from, but, I mean, this is your first sequel.
It is. Yeah, I mean, basically it came out of, you know, Splosion Man had a really good response from, you know, reviewers and game players, and people really liked Splosion Man, and, you know, Mike and Frank and I were kind of chatting, and, you know, we're not really big into the sequel thing. Like, we'd rather move on to other things. But it made sense. You know, there were people who wanted more Splosion Man, but we didn't want to just do DLC. You know, it just felt like it, I don't know, it was a little bit stale. Like, we wanted to do more stuff with it. But, you know, and some people may not get this, but we didn't want to call it Splosion Man 2. We didn't want to do Splosion Man 2 because I feel like if we're going to do Splosion Man 2, it's got to be a reinvention of that mechanic and this totally brand new way of, like, presenting the game. So instead, we were like, what would be really funny? It's like, well, let's continue on what we've done with Splosion Man, but we'll go the Ms. Pac-Man route. We'll call it Ms. Splosion Man. We'll do a whole new story, and we'll start to add in all the stuff, you know, we weren't really able to do in the first Splosion Man. There was a lot of stuff we had to cut out due to, you know, just time restraints and all these other, we weren't sure of certain mechanics. So for this one, we've had the chance to, you know, kind of revisit it and add in a bunch of cool new stuff. And, you know, it's definitely a sequel. It's not just DLC with some added stuff. You know, this is a full-on brand-new game with tons of new crap. But at the same time, I feel like it carries on the original Splosion Man name better than if we did just a Splosion Man 2, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it does. I think it does. I mean, it obviously, the look of the character and obviously the title do nothing but bring... you know, thoughts of Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, absolutely. But our homage to that.
Yeah, there never was a Pac-Man 2, was there?
Not really. I mean, it went on, if there was, it was like, I don't know, 10 years later, Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures, but I think that was like a side-scroller. I can't really remember.
Well, I think
Super Pac-Man, I think, was the...
Well, no, I think Namco, or whoever it was, they officially said that Pac-Man Championship was a true sequel.
They might have. I know Ms. Pac-Man, I can't remember the exact story, but it wasn't even originally Namco. It was like Bally Midway.
Yeah.
I think there was some
people.
It was.
There was all this crazy ass like history to it. It's pretty actually interesting.
So what can we, I don't know, what can you tell us? What can we expect from Misplosion Man? I mean, obviously new levels and new things that you weren't able to use from the first time you went through this route. But I mean, are we still looking at one button gameplay, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, so I mean, like right now, there's still a lot. You know,
I was gonna say, I mean, there's a lot we're not talking about yet.
You bastard.
Well, the whole game, so I just stopped him in the meantime. I mean, there's a lot we're not talking about, but it's, you know, the plan is over the next, you know, between now and when the game releases, every month we'll have something new to say and show about the game.
I was going to say a couple things, you know, I've mentioned when we announced the game. You know, just a couple little things. You know, and again, it's not just like, hey, we're taking Explosion Man 1 and fixing some stuff. It's like, no, this is a whole new game. Like, we revamped our tool set and the engine and all these things so we can make a brand new game. But, you know, some of the stuff is like multiplayer, you know, was something that, as fun as that was in the first game, you know, there were some network issues with it because we had a lot going on. There were a lot of projectiles, four players once, or some crazy shit. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's not that we didn't take the time. It's just that it's really difficult when you have that much stuff going on to make that all sync up. So, you know, going into Miz, knowing that, we've kind of redesigned some stuff for multiplayer on the design side to make that more fun to play with four players, make it feel a little bit better. Another kind of criticism of the first game were our bosses. You know, we loved the look of the bosses and loved the design and everything, but, you know, the bosses weren't, you know, great. You know, there's some shitty boss fights, and this new game's going to have boss fights, but I think we're really trying to make those stand out this time, be really fucking awesome. Stuff like that. Just, we have some, you know, there's a lot of new stuff going into it that I'm not quite talking about yet, like Mike said, but... to me, you know, as we're making it, it's like, you know, this is a better game than Explosion Man. It's more fun. There's a lot of new cool stuff in it. So I'm actually really excited because people like the first one so much. I can't wait to see what people think of this one.
Oh, no, definitely looking forward to it. Now, again, you may not can say, but I'll ask the question anyway. Can we expect the kind of value that we got from Explosion Man with Miss? Are we talking equivalent to or more than the 50 levels of single, 50 levels of multi?
Yeah, I think the value, you know, potential there will be, yeah. I don't think there will be people complaining. You know, I think the first game for $10 was a, you know, a steal, personally. I mean, that's a lot of content for $10. You know, a lot of people that complain once games go over $10. It's like, oh, $15, that's bullshit. I wouldn't, it's like, you know, Comic Jumper, $15. There's so much content in that game. And the game's longer than some retail titles, but you'll still have people complain about it. I don't think you can please everyone, but there will be a lot of value in Misplosion Man.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, you don't know a price yet, obviously, but are you looking at possibly this? Is this going to be kind of a regular thing where it's a game a year from you guys?
You know, I think it depends. I mean, we have two teams now. We're working on, you know, two original IP. I think it just depends. You know, once the Miz comes out eventually and then this next IP is revealed, you know, we'll talk about it and just figure out what we're going to do.
Oh, great. So let me ask the guys, you got any questions here in the room? Dan?
I've got a question.
Or Dennis? I don't want to call you Dan. Whatever. I don't know these people's names. I'm working with them.
I've got a question. I noticed Kefling cameo in Comic Jumper. Are we going to see something similar this Wednesday? In World of Kiflings?
You know, yeah, so the guys at Ninja Bee, they're friends of ours, they're really cool dudes. So we put the Kathleen in there as a joke for those guys, and had Star kind of be afraid of it or whatever. So they do have a little thing, I think, that they're going to surprise people with, but I don't think they've announced it yet. So, but yeah, we've been working with them to try to do a little kind of in jokes with each other. That's kind of the other fun thing about, you know, being independent. You can call up other independent companies and like, hey dudes, what's up? And kind of, you know, do some fun stuff together. Which, you know, the Meat Boy guys did with having all those characters and all that type of stuff. So that's always a fun thing.
Yeah, that's what anytime I bring up the fact that you put Dan's picture in your game, I always give him that line that you gave me, which was almost I can almost do it word for word that night we were talking on the phone, which was how could we call ourselves, you know, independent developers if we couldn't do something like that? You know, if we couldn't make our own decisions.
Yeah, you know, I think anywhere else, even just putting Dan's picture in the game would have been a super huge pain in the ass. You know, I'd have to go through X amount of people and all this bullshit. It's just like, dude, it'd be awesome to, you know, do something for this guy. It's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's put his picture in the game. You know, like, we can do that in, you know, 10 minutes and not a big deal. Well, that's awesome. It feels awesome to do that.
Oh, no, I loved it. The first thing, and I told you this, the first thing I do on games that I know people have worked on is I go straight to the credits if it lets me do that, and I look through the credits and find their name. And it was, and that's the first thing I did. In fact, like I said, I had to go out of town for a wedding when Comic Jumper released, and I got to the guy's house, Nick Paleo from Co-Optimus.com.
Oh, yeah.
Got to his place, and first off, he showed me Kinect because Kinect wasn't out at the time, but he had a thing, so we looked at that and got really bored with it quick. he had Comic Jumper, so he fired it up, and I said, go to the credits. So we sat there, and we watched the credits, and it's like, there's my fucking name, holy shit. And so we looked at that. He said he was trying to get the Dan's picture, but he hadn't, you know, obviously clicked on the right unlockable yet to get to Dan's picture. So, but eventually, when I got home after the wedding and stuff, downloaded the game, and worked up enough money to start going into some of those unlockables, I eventually found his in there. And so, just really awesome, and that's the first time my name, that's the first time this show has ever been mentioned in a game, and it was from you guys, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. So
it's an honor.
I can't thank you enough for that.
No, dude, we appreciate that. Thanks so much, man.
So now I've got to get down there and visit your studio.
Hey, maybe we're notable enough now to have a Wikipedia article.
We could. they took off our
reliable sources, right?
Right. Yeah. Totally. Should put that in there. But yeah, I got to get down there and visit you guys now. That's like the last thing on my list I got to do is to visit Twisted Pixel.
I'll help us eat some of these fucking cookies on this table.
No, we got to go to the donut shop.
For sure.
I got to get a Mother Clucker or whatever the fuck it's called.
Dude, it's amazing. You'll love it.
If you come down for South by Southwest or something like that, we'll definitely go out and take you for a big donut, man.
When is that?
I think it's in March. So it's actually, it overlaps with PAX.
I was about to say, is it PAX East?
Yeah, so we're going to have to split up. I think I'm going to be at PAX East, and then we're going to have a couple of people here for South by. This Southwest wouldn't work.
Yeah, I definitely want to try and make it back to PAX East and get up there. So you guys will be in Boston? You'll be there for PAX East?
Yeah.
Showing off anything new or just there to sell the merch or what you going to be doing?
Well, we'll be doing the usual thing. Like, you know, we like to have the old games there, so Maw and Explosion Man, and we'll have Comic Jumper there. And we're, you know, definitely Miz will be there in some form. We're not sure what form yet, but Miz will be there. And by then, I imagine, you know, the new game, the unannounced game, will have been talked about by then. So there may be something there for that, too.
God, I really have a lot of questions for that unannounced game, but you can't tell me probably any of the answers that I want to hear.
Probably not, but you can try.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear, is that I could try. So here we go.
You know this isn't going to work.
I know. It's never going to work. But just like, you know, the coyote running after Roadrunner, he'll just keep doing it until... You know.
I was thinking more like Bullwinkle trying to do the magic trick.
Well, there's that, too. There's plenty of things you can reference there that just keep happening over and over. Here we go. Let's get the same result. Is either of the new IPs, I'm trying to think of how to word this that you might give me an answer. Is it a departure from things you've done previously? Can't. It's like
yes and no.
That's going to be the answer I get for everything. Can we expect the relationship between you and Microsoft to stay within this? I mean, is it still going to be Xbox Live Arcade type release?
That we don't know, actually. That's TBD.
All right. I'll stop trying.
That was actually an interesting answer.
That was an interesting answer.
You shouldn't be disappointed with
it
that.
It was neither yes nor no. Downloadable or retail?
That's TBD.
Shit. Let's see. fuck. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of how to go there. I'm sure this is making for great listening for whoever's listening to this later on.
Aren't you curious how long it is?
Do what?
How long is it?
Aren't you curious how long it is? 11 inches.
Yeah, 11 inches. God
damn it.
Come on, Matt. You knew that was going to be what he's going to say.
Yeah.
No, not how long it is. Let's see. How much
it's,
more...
It's fun.
It's what?
It'll be fun.
Well, yeah. It's going to be from you guys. It'll be great. Shit. I don't know. I don't know. I just... I'm just really curious about what you guys have planned.
The color blue is in the game somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, we haven't said anything about the game yet, only that it exists. So, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot we can say. But, you know, there is Dan Teasdale. You know, he's lead designer for Harmonix. He's working on it. And it's, you can be sure it's a cool enough project to entice that guy away to come work on something like this.
I know, that's a big deal.
I hope it's not going to be a rhythm game.
Well, they won't answer, but I'll ask. Is it in any way...
Folk band, dude. Go ahead, you know, folk band. That's what it's called.
I had one more question about it. Now I can't remember what that was. Shit.
All harmonica and banjo peripherals, yeah. Well, the difference between us.
It's odd, but I would actually be cool with that. I like harmonica.
Banjo would work down the south.
Yeah, really. We're in the south, so that shit'll work. That shit'll fly down here. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's move on to...
I have a question.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, how did you guys enjoy doing the live-action stuff for Comic Jumper? Is that something that you're interested in maybe putting into further games?
Yeah, so the live-action stuff, man, it's a lot of fun to do. It's so much fun. I think, you know, for us, it's one of those things where if it makes sense. So we love doing that. I want to keep doing more. I'm a big fan of it. I think it just depends on the game. So I think the thing we don't want to do is do it just to do it. I think if you try to, in Comic Jumper especially, you know, experimented with it in Splosion Man, Comic Jumper was really pushing some weird shit. So, you know, if it's the right title or the right idea, then that'll definitely pop up again. But it's definitely not something we want to just shove in just to do it, because I think that'll be pretty noticeable. Like, yeah, they're just doing it to do it. And I think anytime you're just trying to be silly or, you know, funny and you're trying too hard, it really comes off as shitty. So I think it's one of those things that just feels right.
You know, speaking of Comic Jumper and some of the weird shit going on in there, when you had to, I guess, go up to the ratings board on that one, did it ever come back where you had to cut anything out because of, you know, suggestive themes, I suppose?
You know, really the only censoring that happened was internal censoring. There was some stuff where we thought it would be pretty funny, but there were a couple things we came up with that we thought might have crossed a line, or we're not really sure how this is going to play. I wouldn't say we, like, you know, we kept a lot of stuff in there that's a little bit iffy, but I can't remember. I don't think the SRB had anything. I don't think we got anything turned down. I think it's really just you need to document it well and show them what you're trying to pull off. I think Origami Kid was a perfect example of that.
yeah. Boy, was he ever.
Oh, man.
Yeah, where Origami Kid, you know, we're not doing that just blatantly because, wouldn't it be funny to make fun of Asian people? You know, then do something like that. It was more like, hey, this fits the times of what we're trying to show. And if you get the jokes in this game, you're going to think that's funny.
And if you don't get that joke, you just don't get it. And yeah, great, call us racists or whatever. It doesn't really matter. So, yeah, but I think, you know, we just presented documentation that showed them what we were trying to do. And that was that. So really no problems with them.
I think the ESRB had a bigger problem with us that our song lyrics weren't printed in the right order.
Yeah.
There's some pretty demanding requirements for how all your documentation needs to be presented.
And it's cool to hate Asians, but could you put this in the right, because we have a hard time reading this shit.
Well, anybody else with questions? I'm going to move on to some stuff not even related to their stuff. But
I have to say, I like the really love the soundtrack that you did for Comic Jumper. The music for it is fantastic. And I also thank you for having it where we could download. I actually have the songs on my iPod, and I'll be shuffling through when I'm driving the car, and I like, the theme from Brad will like just come on out of nowhere, and try not to crash my car laughing too hard, but it's always a pleasure. That and my ringtone on my phone is the Boom Goes My Ringtone, which people always give me crazy looks on that.
We really appreciate that, man. I mean, since we started the company, something really important was just, how important audio is to games and, trying to push that. We've been trying to push that since the mall, just trying to do interactive music and neat different ways. Comic Jumper wasn't quite as interactive as some of the other ones just because it didn't fit. Like, there really wasn't a reason to do it that way. But we work with a lot of good composers. Chainsaw in-house is awesome.
Yeah.
And we work with work with John DeBoard and Josh Mosley on a lot of our projects. They're really good guys. They're nice guys. They do good music. And, it's nice to have people know about them more. So we really try to push that out there. And, yeah, I'm glad you guys enjoy that.
The first time I started looking through my stats in Comic Jumper, I had to, do it a second time just because I was laughing at just, the lyrics, for the stats song. So,
well, the stats themselves were pretty absurd, too.
But, yeah, they were crazy stats. But
man, I appreciate that. That's all Chainsaw. A lot of the times... everything here is collaborative, and Chainsaw have an idea, and, if it just fits, it fits. And he's like, hey, I want to try this thing. It's like, yeah, man, you know what, go try it. And if it's not working for some reason, we'll all know right away, and we can just take it out. But that's another great thing about doing what we do. You can just try weird shit and just see if it sticks. And, the Stats song was great. That was something that just stuck, and he had a great time doing it. And, I'm glad people enjoyed it.
Now, Chainsaw is the really furry dude on the back of your Christmas card, right?
I think we have a couple really furry guys back there.
Actually, you're right. You guys,
We have a couple Vikings here now, so big bearded dudes.
Yeah, really. You guys aren't one for shaving over there, are you?
Did you like the Christmas card?
I did. Thank you very much for the Christmas card. I got last year's and I got this year's, and I really appreciate that. And I posted it in the first off, I tweeted it, Josh. I put it on Twitter, pictures of the card, and then I put the pictures in the thread whenever I was asking for questions.
Because, oh, cool.
I don't know, those things kind of, if no one's listened to the interviews that we've done with you before, or kind of doesn't, knows who you are, knows who the games are, or what the games are, putting these little things in there, I think, kind of gives that idea of like, you're talking with a bunch of fun people, So just ask your question and don't be uptight about it. Just these guys are really laid back and are very open as far as what they are allowed to talk about, apparently.
Yeah.
So,
I appreciate that, man.
But yeah, it's always fun. What have you guys, in between, I know you've been working a shit ton, but have you played anything other than your own shit?
Let's see. What have we been playing? Pac-Man Championship DX is fucking awesome.
That it is.
I just bought X-Men Arcade just because I loved that game when I was a kid. And I just Gameflight Epic Mickey. Check that out.
What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I just finished Heavy Rain because I never got a chance to play that when it first came out.
Ooh.
So
how was... What kind of ending did you get on that?
I got the one where, Josh, you beat it, right?
I know how it ends.
Okay, cool. you always have to make sure that everybody has beat it. Has everybody over there beat it before?
Oh, yeah, we've already had our discussions on this game, so go ahead.
Cool. Well, yeah, I got the one where, So my guy Ethan survives. I managed to keep him alive or whatever. But then the FBI dude, I messed up in the fight on the escalator thing, so I died. And the Scott dude got away, so I watched him like kind of walking down the street at the end of the game.
And Josh, you haven't played that, or you haven't beat it yet?
No, you know what? I like the idea of Heavy Rain. I like what it's trying to do, but I couldn't get into it, man.
That's a good question. What have outside of your stuff? What have you seen that's really impressed you or really kind of got a hold on you? It's like, oh, I've really got to play that.
And I'm trying to think. I'm excited about Donkey Kong Country. I haven't played that yet. The new one. Man, I can't think right now. I mean, I think the last thing I played where I was like, fuck, man, that was so awesome was Uncharted 2. You know, God of War 3 was really good. I enjoyed God of War 3, but Uncharted 2 was like, man, yeah, this is awesome. I was actually excited about games again because of that. I think the thing like Heavy Rain was, there's a lot of cool stuff that I like what they're trying to do. I think trying to push the medium that way is awesome. But just those fucking controls, man, like you're trying to be all serious and look awesome, then you get stuck in a corner and you're just walking forward like a jackass, like in a circle, and then the bitch is like, go get the dishes ready or whatever, and I'm like, I can't fucking find the dishes.
Like, I had the same problem.
I don't know where the dishes are. Fuck you. Yeah. I just want to get out of this corner.
Good stuff. Let's see, what else? Anybody else have any questions? We're kind of running to the end of the interview on this one. I don't want to keep up any more of your time. I know you guys are going to. Are you guys going out of town for Christmas, or is like family there in town?
I'm heading out. I got family in North Carolina, so I think on Wednesday flying out, heading up there. I'm a lazy asshole, so I make people come to me.
There you go.
Yeah, I know.
That's how I do Christmas.
That's the way to do it, my friend.
That's right.
What have you?
How about you guys?
Oh well, I don't know. I'm going out of town, but I'm only going about an hour away. What about?
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I get drug up to the in-laws for a couple days, but that's only like an hour and a half drive, and then you know I'm back here. So,
yeah,
out of town.
Awesome.
I'm staying in town. I'm a broke asshole.
We got a broke asshole who can't afford to go anywhere for Christmas, so he's staying in town.
Correct.
This seems to sound like a silly question to go this route, but I'm actually kind of curious. Are you getting anything cool for Christmas?
I don't like presents. I don't like people giving me presents. Like, it kind of pisses me off.
Really?
I don't like it. I like to give presents. I like presents, but I don't. I'm like Santa Claus, dude. You don't give Santa Claus presents. I got my cookies in front of me right now. I'm fine.
So, did you give me anything? 11 inches, right?
Dude, I sent you that fucking Christmas card, man.
Well, your signature wasn't in it.
Dude. Did you even get the card? Did you get what the dude on the back with the Nestle Crunch and shit?
I didn't until today when I think Jay posted the contest.
Okay, cool.
And then I was looking at it, man. I'm like, that guy's really fucking familiar. I thought he was on the Christmas card last year. But
no,
I can't.
Hart Bachner, the actor Hart Bachner. Yeah. Your White Knight.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. But yeah, I was looking at the back of it and I thought, this has probably got to mean something, but then again, it's you guys. So it may just be completely random shit that has no meaning whatsoever. So, you know, I didn't really know. But yeah, I thought he looked familiar. But yeah, I actually did not get the reference until today when I was reading Twitter again. And found out what it meant.
It's almost the equivalent of gay porn, I guess, when you think about it. Twitter. That's probably why I don't do it.
Well, it is the internet, after all.
Josh gets all his gay porn the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
In In public restrooms.
Well, it is Austin, after all.
They have a lot of rest stops here, so I'm happy.
Trucker's joy.
If we didn't already have a name for the episode.
I know, we've come up with plenty that we could call it. But anyway,
I'm excited to know what you name it.
Well, no, you're gonna pick the name. You're gonna pick the name. I wanna thank you guys for doing the show and everything you've done for the site and for us and for me. And I cannot thank you enough for it. And keep doing what you're doing and don't ever change. So.
Well, guys, thanks very much. We really appreciate the support. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Now, anytime you guys want to be on the show, you want to make an announcement? That'd be great. Yeah, I know. I know all 10 of our listeners will appreciate it. So if you would like to come on and be on the show, anytime you want to, just hit me up. We'll do this again and have you guys on. So I want to thank you for being on and really appreciate it. So. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, man.
All right, you guys have a good one, and we will talk to you after the holidays here. So have a great one.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for everything.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye.
I do want to go on record saying I do think Christmas Buttfuck is an awesome title for something.
This is all going in there. You're fine. The Christmas Buttfuck episode.
You can put a star in for the U, right? And then it's all okay.
It's whatever you want, man. I'm at it. All my good ideas are gone. The next Pixel game is going to be called 11 Inches.
That's the new idea.
Thanks to you, Josh. Does have any other ideas? Then it's all just gonna be 11 inch. And then the other Twisted Pixel game is called Out of Fucking Ideas.
No, it needs to be Buttfuck Christmas.
Dude, I would love to make Buttfuck Christmas as a game. That would be so awesome. Can you imagine using Kinect on Buttfuck Christmas?
Yeah, well, I've heard Microsoft cut a stop to that kind of shit going on.
We got Origami Kid in. We can get.
Oh God, that thing did some man when he jumped into his pants.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I thought how did they get by with this shit? They must have just been like, yeah, this is showed them the first level and been like, yeah, it's just like this for the rest of the way. Just this. You don't have to see anymore.
Molesting little boys is easy to get across the ESRB and shit. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, again,
when they have a problem, you're just like, dude, his butthole's made of paper. It's not even a real butthole. Like, all right. Well, I hope you guys have a really good fucking holiday, guys. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much. When are you guys back? When are you guys back to work?
I'll be like the first or second. Yeah,
they get the long 2 weeks off that we don't get anymore.
11 inches off?
They get 11 inches off.